Well, praise the Lord. Speaker's nice and loud today. So, anyways, that was awesome praising this morning. I enjoyed that. I think I could have done that a little bit longer. But praise the Lord. You know, the message that we've been having is an urgent one. You know, we've been talking about how the Lord's coming. I mean, it's so urgent. You can see it all around us. What direction this nation is taking. See where people are in their lives. You see the state of the churches. And how unfruitful they're really becoming. And how powerless they are becoming. And it didn't start out this way. Not in this nation. And there's an urgency here. Guys, there's an urgency here. For us to set our faith places like Flint, to get over ourselves and be about the Lord and His business. And with that, I'm going to go to 2 Peter 3, chapter 3. And I'm going to let you know right now, I do not have full understanding of this or full knowledge of this, but the Lord showed me some really cool things this morning in them. Says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. That was the first earth. That's how it got destroyed. That's how it got destroyed, by water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, then it's going to be destroyed by fire. And this is coming, folks, by the same word. By the same word of Jesus. And you know, we've been talking a lot in that analogy of Noah. Hey, get in the boat, it's going to rain. Get in the boat, it's going to rain. And they all mocked, just like they did here, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That's the same thing that they were doing with Noah and the ark. The same thing. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord as a thousand years, and as a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look, the more the Lord tarries, is more grace for people to hear His word and to get on that boat. And that boat is Jesus Christ and His blood and His taking in the forgiveness of sins and His taking the sins of the world. You know, it's an urgent message right now. And it scares me because I know there's a lot that I need to be working out of myself. There needs to be not me at all. Love God, love one another, no Philip. And that old man comes up and rises his head way too much, and that thing is dead. That thing should be dead. You know what? You know, and another thing here is, remember, he's like, it's the Father's will that all would be saved. You know, this is a grace to us. This is a grace to the people who do not know the Lord yet, that He has not come. But I'm telling you guys, now is the time to hit your knees before the Lord and get right with Him. And don't deceive yourself, man. Don't deceive yourself like Saul did. Oh, it was the people. Or, I have filled the commandment of the Lord. No, you didn't. Oh, well, it was the people. Or it was this, or it was that. No, get honest with yourself before the Lord. Come to Psalm 51 like David did. Lord, create in me a clean heart, because mine is messed up, and only by You do I have salvation. And then teach others likewise, and show others His grace and His mercy. You know, this should be the number one thing in our lives and everything we do. I've been talking to you guys about setting your face like flint, and how the choices that we make every day, actually, they matter. Do we choose the Lord in the midst of our day, in all of our situations? Do we choose what He would have us do in them? Or do we go off our own intellect and do our own thing and our own business? If we are His body, we will be doing His will. That's what Jesus did. But don't deceive yourselves thinking that you're doing His will when you're not. Don't deceive yourselves thinking that you are the body when you're not doing His will, because that's what Jesus did. Now's the time, and He is coming. This is a long time ago this was written. How much more now is it coming? It's closer than ever. The sun is rising and going down in different places. There's all kinds of stuff that's going on in this world today. Debt is mounted on top of each other with countries. Look around, folks. The only thing that's going to save you, the only thing that is going to save you, is Jesus Christ and what He did for you on that cross. That's it. Let's be about that. Let's be walking in that. Let's be walking in that victory. That's going to be the only thing that saves you. It's not going to be your mommy. It's not going to be your daddy. It's not going to be your brother. It's not going to be your sister. They can't save you. It's only by the blood of Jesus. They will direct you to Him, but it's only Jesus and His blood that saves you. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt away with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Holy conversation. Lifestyle. What are you living? Are you living for the Lord? Are you living for His will? Holy. Separated unto God. And godliness. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's twice He's saying, this is going to come to pass, folks. And where are we going to be standing in the midst of it? What are we going to be doing in the midst of it? You know, that's the question. For us to be able to stand and accountable for the Lord, before the Lord, we must be doing that already. We must be getting to know Him already. You know, you hear it a lot of times, people, well, when I grow old, I'll get to know the Lord. But right now, it just doesn't matter. No, the time is now. This is the opportunity for you to get it right with the Lord and to choose Him in His way. now's the time. Now's the time. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth the righteousness. This is what we look for. That's the hope. Be in him and his righteousness. Know his voice. Be able to go up with him in the clouds. Be with him in New Jerusalem. It's only by his blood. But let me tell you, it's now that we start getting ourselves right with the Lord so that we can even stay there, that we can even stand there, that we even have the faith to go meet him. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. How in the world am I going to be found without spot and blameless? Look, you can look at me. it won't take a minute to figure out how screwed up I am. I'm telling you. I'm one screwed up son of a gun. But how we're going to be blameless without spot is we're going to be in Jesus Christ. And when the Father looks down on me, he doesn't see Philip the flesh. He sees the blood. He sees the blood. I said, yep, that's mine. He's got the wedding garment on. Come on, son. Come on, son. That's what I want more than anything else. More than anything else. And I want it for me, and I want it for my family. I want it for you guys. I want it for the person in the street that doesn't know God. I want it for him that have no hope, to say there is hope. He changed me. He can sure as change you. I'm not special. I'm not special. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He had long suffering to the cross. And he still has long suffering now. The time is now. He's having long suffering with us. Let's answer his call. Not the call of this flesh, but his call. Because his call is right now. It's today. Salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his apostles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. This rest is with a W. That means to pervert, to turn away. That doesn't mean the rest starting with R. That's a different meaning there. But Paul has laid this out in his epistles. All of them. Read the scriptures. All of us can read. We all have the word. And learned and unlearned and unstable and unstable rest. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Doing it to their own destruction. They take the truth, they twist it up to fit themselves. To justify themselves. To turn others away from the truth of the gospel. Because it's so simple. Only by Jesus. And to make it a list of righteousness. Of works. Of self-righteousness, I should say. But that's not on the way. And they can't understand that. They can't grasp that. because it's too simple. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Look, folks, now's the time. Don't deceive. Let's not be deceived. You know, the biggest, we say the enemy, we say Satan, we say all this all the time, but the biggest thing we struggle with is our own selves and our own self-justification and our own self-righteousness, our own crap that gets before the Lord and not getting honest with Him. You cannot bullcrap the Lord. You can't. You want to find grace, hit your knees just like David did in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, God. My sin is ever before me. I am not justified. There was nothing I did that I could say there's justification for. I did it. I'm guilty. Please forgive me. Help me. I need you. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Because that's all I have. That's all I have. Look, He reigns. He reigns in His kingdom. And we got two choices. We can reign with Him in His kingdom, or we can be of this world, which is Satan's. Which side do you want to be on? I want to be on Jesus' side. I want to be on Jesus' side now, and when that day comes. It says it comes as a thief in the night, and I want to be ready, and I want to be spotless. I want to be blameless and without spot. I want to know Him, and I want Him to know me. It's one thing to be, to know the Lord, or who He is, or about Him. It's another thing if He knows you. And you're going to want Him to know you when this comes. And the time is now. The time is now. All right, Paul.
Kind of have a second witness in a more. Peter was very specific. Paul, in a much more general sense, says the same thing in Galatians 6. I'll start in verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, the word is a series of if-then statements. And, you know, if you trust me and obey me and serve me, then in Deuteronomy 28, you got these blessings. If you don't, then you got these curses. But the lines are set up that way all the way through Scripture. And this is an if and then scenario, just like Peter was. Be not deceived. That's not necessarily being deceived by other people or other gospels. We have a great ability to deceive ourselves and decide that, well, what we desire is the Lord's desire. And it most of the time that's just not the same, not the case. And you know, you spend a number of years where they accidentally intersect and you go, and you figure that's just the way life goes. That's not the way life goes. This is time is being brought up short. Just like Philip was saying. It's like Peter was saying. And you don't have time to be sowing to the flesh, because just as sure as that if-then statement works, from the flesh you will also reap corruption. And just like in the last days in 2 Peter, mockers, scoffers will come, saying, oh, where's the God of the promise of Scripture? All this is supposed to happen. When is this stuff going to happen? He really doesn't exist, or he doesn't care. You know, I've said that when I was younger. That doesn't please the Lord. It's prideful. And Peter spent a long time saying the same thing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Because he has the last word. And you're going to be standing there wishing you had those words back. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The easiest way to get weary in well-doing is to be convincing yourself that you're doing the Lord's will, when you wouldn't know it if it sat on you. But even when you are, and your heart is desperately seeking his will and desperately trying to please him, then you see the scoffers and you go, man, you don't get weary. Their end is sure. And the first verse I quote here, be not deceived. God is not mocked. As we therefore, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. That means you prefer those who are in the body. You prefer your brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's not wrong to be good to somebody outside of the body, but you prefer your brothers and sisters. If you think the Lord's looking the other way and he's forgotten about what he said he's going to do, destruction is at the other end of that. He's not slack concerning his promises and his judgments. And this warning after warning after warning. Yes, he's graceful. Yes, he's merciful. Yes, he's loving. Yes, he's righteous. But you can't be crossing any of those. You have to be flowing with it. And he's not going to let you reap anything but destruction, anything but corruption from sowing corruption. If you're going to sow corrupted seed, you're going to reap corruption. It's the way it works. And if you think that mocking the Lord isn't sowing to corruption. Keep it up. Not going to be good. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we're thankful we have the opportunity to proclaim your word. And your word is truth and life. And in you there's light and no darkness at all. We thank you for the surety of your word and your testimony. And we know that we have been treated much better than we deserve. We thank you for your son and his sacrifice and blood and the purity of the covering of our sins. Father, we praise you, Lord. We love you. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.